build the character of His Son in us. We don't have that without His intervention. And so this morning, the work of God is persevering love. Persevering love. Or the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I want to give credit to Dr. Alistair and his notes on the patience of God that make some of these applications in today's sermon. An early example of patience in the Bible is the relationship between Jacob and Rachel. You got to turn back and read that in the book of Genesis if you want to understand how relationships go sometimes. Not the easiest of ones, either at the beginning or later on. But the Bible says Jacob really loved Rachel, and he had to work 7 years in order to marry her. He had this negotiation with Rachel's dad, so his father-in-law really, you know, put a tough on Jacob and said, no, you have to work 7 years before you can marry my daughter Rachel. And God's word says Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Now, that's pretty great. Now, guys, one of the things we don't want to do is look at that story and say, aha, if I'm interested in a gal, you know, I should really wait 7 years before I get too serious because look at this. Okay, not an excuse for cold feet, okay? Amen, fellas? But one definition of patience is love in waiting. Love in waiting. And God has the attribute of patience in Him. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient. Love is patient. So if you want to know, boy, what's a quality of love? I want to be a loving Christian toward my neighbor, toward my family, toward the people at work, toward my brother and sister in Christ. How do I be loving? God would say, love is patient. Put it back in your relationships. Okay, it's of God. It's from God. Don't leave it out. You won't be loving if you're not patient. Love is patient. It's the long-term strength of a commitment. And if you love someone, you'll gladly wait for them. Some people, in terms of goals, don't mind going after that goal for a long time, educationally, athletically, music-wise. Study, practice, because I love this opportunity to honor the Lord. And God is patient. God waits for you and I to come to Him and turn to Him for help. He's patient. We've been maybe sidestepping the Lord for 7 years, you know. Stay on the fence. I kind of believe in God, but my heart's just not toward Him 100%. I know He's not number one in my life. If you'd confess that to God, He'd say, I'm glad you recognize that. You could avoid the Lord for 7 years, but to the Lord, it seems like only just a few days because of His great love for you. You say, oh, I'd wait for that one. You know, their whole life if necessary. God's good at that. And so do you wait gladly for God? Because He waits for you, and He is the number one love in your life. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. Okay, we wait patiently for God to do. He waits more patiently for us. And patience also means to persevere in the face of opposition when things are going against you. Sin coming your way, the sin of your own soul, the enemies of the world, the flesh, the devil. In spite of great opposition, God perseveres to pursue people. Okay, he's strong that way. And in terms of opposition, do you know who you and I oppose the most in our lives? We oppose the Lord the most. And every time we sin, we oppose the Lord. We push Him away. We declare war on Him. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon called Man is Naturally God's Enemy. Took a verse from Romans chapter 8 where it says that our sinful mind is hostile to God. We treat God as an enemy. Don't tell me what to do. Don't run my life. and so on. But God is patient in spite of our opposition to Him. And He intervenes, gives us His Spirit. So we're drawn to follow Christ. And God is patient. He is not short-tempered with us. Not short-tempered. He is long-tempered. And when you and I are filled with the Spirit, you might look for some quality saying, you know, if a person's filled with the Spirit, they're going to do this, that, and the other. It could be true, but God's Word says, if somebody's filled with the Spirit, they are patient. They are long-tempered to abide in Christ that way. He grows that attribute in us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is really some of the attributes of God that He shares with us. Before we look at them, Solomon took some time in the book of Proverbs to preach about patience. Did so just a line or two in a bunch of chapters. Listen to the qualities of a patient man. I think you would want to be this way, only with God's help. A patient man overlooks an offense. Overlooks an offense. A patient man calms a quarrel. When you're around, the quarreling gets toned down. You know, and there's some civility, some sanity in there. A patient man has great understanding. You know, when you're patient, that means you're really seeking God and His wisdom. You're thinking things through. A patient man is better than conquering a city. Boy, how we value conquering cities, you know, when there's conflicts and so on. God's Word says if you're patient, that's better than taking over North Irwin. You know, your patience. And then a patient man is better than a warrior. Better than a warrior. It's a cheap shot at the Penn Trafford people. We know there's people better than the warriors, and they are the patient people. Patient. We value brave soldiers. God says more effective than a brave soldier, a patient person who God is working in their lives. And God, as He shares with us, you know, draws us to Himself. Some of His attributes, we've seen this, some of these before. Some of those qualities He shares with us, some of them He keeps to Himself. So we honor Him for who He is. That's a part of learning how to follow over the long haul. He has omnipotence. All the power is God's. So we're glad about that. We want to let Him have His way, as it were. Omniscience, or for the academic people, omniscience. Okay, you can go back in school and say, we talked about science in church on Sunday. Oh, yeah. What was it? Omniscience. God is all-knowing. Okay, has all knowledge. And then omnipresence, everywhere, not anywhere you and I could go. A tough time or a tough trial, God is not there. Lord, meet me in the trial. I didn't want this trial. Meet me in the trial. Omnipresence. God is creator. We think we're the creators. God is the creator of all things. We just put the molecules together that He created. And then Savior, we can't save ourselves. He does for us what we can't do. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, say, Lord, be my Savior. I trust in You alone, not my works, not my strength of, you know, how good I think I am, but trust Christ. And then only the ones with the stars on it does God share with us. God is judge. I wanted to be the judge. I really did. You're guilty and you're good and you're not good and you're this way and you're that way. And can I sentence you roughly or just, let you off? Thank the Lord I'm not the judge. It would be chaos. You don't want to be the judge. God is the judge. And we can know right and wrong and point that out. God's the judge. Wrath. Only God has wrath in a way that's just. We can have righteous anger. You know, the Bible says God's wrath is not just in the future, but His wrath remains on anybody who rejects Christ. That is so true and difficult. It's not easy to be a lost person. They sense the wrath of God every day. Jesus said, whoever rejects the Son, God's wrath remains on him. And then the attributes of God he does share, love, that 100% affection and commitment. He brings it our way, does that through us. Joy, the joy of Christ in our souls. Peace, not the absence of conflict, but the presence of Christ. You say, wow, I know the peace of Christ. He gives it to me as the world cannot. And then what else God shares with us? Patience, that long-term love. Or I like Carrie's definition, Jesus will still be there. That's patience. I left. Jesus will still be there. Loved one's gone. Jesus will still be there. Holy. No sin, all good. And merciful. How he helps us. Faithful. Try to talk about that in 2 weeks. Faithful. You can count on God. He'll be there. And the truth that sets us free. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about some of these qualities. Good to think how great God is and say, Lord, influence me and please fill me with some of these qualities I just don't have on my own. Charles Spurgeon said, he who thinks often of God will have a stronger mind than the man who simply plods around this narrow globe. I have found that to be true. When I think of God, the rest of life kind of is more clear. My IQ doesn't go up, or maybe it does. But I see things more clearly. My mind is more ready to serve. Nothing enlarges the soul so much or the intellect as to think on the Lord. So please do that. Think of his goodness coming your way. He's patient. When we think of the patience of God, think of the character Gideon. God told Gideon, who wanted to be a mighty warrior, he said, I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. He told him one time that should have been enough. Gideon said, I don't know if that's going to work. I'm kind of the smallest tribe, and I could see a lot of things going wrong. God says it again, second time. I'm going to defeat the Midianites through you. Thank you, God, okay? Gideon, right before the battle, says, I know you told me we're going to win, but I'm going to put this piece of wool on the ground here. Could you make that wool with the dew of the morning and everything around it, no dew? Could you do that, please? Wet with dew and the rest, no dew. So, and then I'll know we're going to win. God's gracious. Does it for Gideon. Gideon says, I need some more news here. Could you just tell me one more time? I'll put the wool on the ground. Can you make the ground wet and the wool dry? Now, we play games with God like that. And God doesn't say, get out of here. You know, use somebody else. He says, he made the ground wet and the wool dry. And it happened like God said. And God remains patient with us like that. He remains patient with his children and with the lost world, the saved world. Peter wrote, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while Noah built the ark. Does anybody remember how many years it took Noah to build the ark? It wasn't a short-term commitment. 120 years. Your job, it feels like, I've been working at that job for 120 years, it seems like. And God waited. Not going to kill anybody right now. Not going to destroy Noah. Not going to destroy the world. I'm going to wait. 120 years. Would anybody get on that ark with Noah and his family? God patiently waited. He was not willing that anybody should perish. And God waits for you and I like that. That's a long time. God had patience in the face of opposition. In 2 Peter, Peter's preaching about God's judgment and Jesus' second coming. He says, hey, God is not slow in keeping with his promise. God's not slow. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish. Okay. God has his eye on you from all eternity past. He said, hey, you're 15 years old now. Been waiting for 15 years. You're 50 years old. I've been waiting for 50 years for you to 70 years old. I'm waiting for you to start to follow me. I can wait to 120 if need be to come to God, turn to him. So make every effort to be at peace with God. Make it right between you and God. Repent. Turn around 180 degrees. You could do that. He's patient with his children, patient with a lost person. Peter closes the sermon on judgment with this verse. Bear in mind that the Lord's patience means salvation. Well, this is a good quality because eventually people get right with God because of his patience. That's a wonderful thing. Now, if God is patient with people to get right with him, shouldn't you and I be patient with people to be at peace with God? I think I could see my family turning to God. I could see my neighbors, you know, being it right with God. I could see myself getting excited about God. God is patient with us. He says, be earnest. Make every effort to be right with God. And often we see the evil in the world around us. We get frustrated and want God to act right away. I picked up this habit of snapping my fingers when I want something to happen. Thank the Lord it doesn't happen when I snap my fingers. And I tell my family when they're going slow anywhere, I say, you're holding up the kingdom of heaven. Which is a ridiculous saying, but sounds forceful, so I say it. But we can't stop God. His good news is unstoppable. He's not slow. Okay? And we often say, why doesn't God do something about sin? Look at all this garbage in the world. Why doesn't he judge that? You know, God has judged sin already. He really has. He did it at the cross. And he said, all the sin in the whole world, my judgment at the cross and on my son. So God has done something about judging sin. And God will do something about judging sin. He will come back. Be King of kings and Lord of lords. Take us to be with him. Judge the living and the dead. And he is doing something now about sin. Isn't he? He's being patient. He's being patient about sin. He's waiting for Christians to turn to him. He's waiting for a person lost to turn to him. Oh, I'm not a Christian. I know I'm not a Christian. God knows I'm not a Christian. I hardly think of the Lord unless I'm desperate. God is patient, saying, well, come to me. And remember the invitation verse. Bear in mind, our Lord's patience means salvation. How about, you know, for you? So I'm 35. God's been patient with me. And I think I know why. And so I meet Christ. And I be saved. And I've been a Christian 60 years. I've been lukewarm the last 20. God's patient with me. I know why. He wants to get me following again. So might you do that. I'm going to close with a prayer of salvation for any here today. Let's close in prayer, please. Lord, thank you for your qualities, love, and wrath, patience. None of these are in competition with yourself. I ask, Lord, that your patience would move toward all of us. We as your children would say, we're glad God invites. And anybody here who never received Christ would say, I know God's patient. I'm still here. I'm still on this side of death. So God must be patient with me. He's asking me to trust him 100%, follow him 100%. God can help you do that. Could you just pray, Lord Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. And His Holy Spirit in you will help you. If you say, I receive Christ, He'll be in you to help you follow, build you some patience in your soul, and you'll be an effective son or daughter of His. Just lean on Him and let His good work be in your soul. Help us go with You, Lord, as we walk in this world, and thank You for Your grace and mercy. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand? We're going to close with All the Way My Savior Leads Me.